Now, as I said, our goal in coming here is for one purpose, and that is to be able to grow. So then, to come to the house of the Lord, we enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and we enter into His courts with praise, because we come here to grow, to grow. Now, I want to read just a little bit from the book of Romans, beginning at the first chapter. If you've got your Bibles, you're welcome to read with me. Chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if it by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be confident together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignities, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Chapter 2. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art, the judge that judgest, for when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness in their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Paul says here that as many as have sinned without the law. Now, they that have never really come to a full understanding of God, or as to those of the Gentiles to whom the law was not committed as a rule and way of life, they will not escape the judgments of God. Though they be without the law, yet the Bible said sin reigned over mankind from Adam even until Moses, when the law came. So then, the law was not responsible for sin to the extent that men sinned through the fall. Paul said, we judge that if one man sinned, then all be under sin. And the sins of one man hath brought death to all humanity, because it is the seed of that one man that is alive in the world today. So as to the heritage, God visiting the iniquities of the fathers down upon the children to the third and fourth generation, and this wasn't changed until Calvary and still remains unchanged today. Unless you're born again, because you do not have a Calvary until you are born again. You remain rejected of God and under the law to the extent that you've never come to the law. And he said you'll still be judged. You'll still be judged, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without the law. For that is to say, the righteousness of the law which worketh in our hearts because of the work of the Lord Jesus. Then if you've never come to the law, then you couldn't have the righteousness of the law within your heart. So you still perish, because there's no life, there's no salvation. And then the Bible said, them that are in the law, as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law, because the transgression of the law is sin and the sting of sin is death. So there's no way that you can escape. One way or another, you're going to have to stand before God and be judged, unless, as the 15th verse says, speaking of these that show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness in their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. That is the conflict of the thoughts on the inside as to a continual warfare between the body and the soul, or the body and the spirit. For within my body there dwelleth no good thing. For inside of me, as to my conscience and my spirit, the Bible said the will is present. But how to perform that as to a bodily thing, Paul said, I find not. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And I thank God, he said, that what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, or that is to say, the flesh being weak, not being able to perform it, that God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, that is, he came in the image of sin, Then God condemned sin in the flesh, took away sin in the flesh, and they that are born of God can no longer be kept in sin. If my body is now dead by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is to say, as Paul said again, that if sin came by one man, and all people are under sin because of Adam, then when the second man, Adam, came and he did not sin and he became the perfect man, he said, now we hold that because of sin, one man caused all of this. As to death. Now, because of righteousness, as to God's righteousness, one man hath wrought the works of righteousness, and because of his faith, now all men are free from sin. So then we see that if we believe on the Lord Jesus, then we're born of the Lord Jesus. Or we're born of God, or we're born of the second man, Adam. Just as they that come through the lineage of the first man, Adam, are born unto death, and in him all die, then when we're born again, we're the new creature, and we have a new heavenly Father, and therefore we are born into life, and we are now free from sin, for we are born into righteousness. So then we are born of God, and we cannot sin because God cannot sin, and we are born of God, therefore we are free from sin, and we should stay free from the bondage of the intellectual reasoning as to be in bondage again to the beggarly elements of the world by our thoughts and our desires. We have excelled. We are they that live in heaven. We are now those that dwell in heaven. We are now God's. We have transcended the earthly barriers, and we are now dwelling in heaven. And we now cannot sin, and we're now holy and godly and pure without fault before the throne of God. And we cannot sin because we are born of God. And the Bible said, he that sinneth is of the devil, because the devil sinneth from the beginning. But he that is born of God cannot sin, because transgression of the law is sin, and the law is now folded up and laid away. And where there's no law, and where we are free from the law of sin and death, that means that we keep ourselves and we are never spotted by the evil one. They that are born of God inwardly keep themselves, and the Bible says the evil one toucheth them not. So then, being born of God, we are free from the law of sin and death. So that means we cannot sin. We're holy. We're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And they said concerning this man, in him, this just man, we find no fault. There's not any fault. No one in the entire world can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. You're God's elect according to the foreknowledge of God. And the Bible said, them that he foreknew, he also elected unto grace. Are them that he foreknew, he called those. He justified those by faith of his righteousness. And the Bible says that he sanctified us by his faith. And he hath glorified us, the Bible said, as to the knowledge of God, as to the sight of God, as to the understanding of God. The Lamb that was slain before or from the foundation of the world, God took his blood, and God wrote our names down in the Lamb's book of life, and God made you a son of God before knowledge, before you ever came into the world, and predestinated you by what he foreknew that you would do when you received the gospel and heard his voice. Knowing that we are made a little lower than the angels, we don't have strength to prevail against the angels. And knowing that Satan and demon spirits are fallen angels, God had to predestinate us by giving us eternal life by what he foreknew we would do when we heard the gospel, that he might send the Spirit of Christ, even the greatest power of angelic being that has ever been known, the greatest angelic power that is strength over all demon spirits and over Lucifer, the chief of demon spirits. So then he had to send his Spirit into our heart to seal our spirit, because man being made a little lower than the angels are greater in power and might, and they can just walk into a human being like seven devils walked right into Mary Magdalene and bound her. A legion of devils walked right into the man called himself Legion and bound him to where he could break chains, lived among the tombs. Now, we are free from the law of sin and death. And we have the Holy Spirit, which means power. He said, "Behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. These things shall fall all around your dwelling, but they'll never come near you. They cannot touch you. You are sealed. You're without spot. You're without wrinkle. You're without blemish." And when your spirit becomes interwoven with Christ's spirit, I say this so often, then light cannot get near darkness, nor darkness near light. They have no fellowship. There's absolutely no fellowship. The Bible said the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward part. And the darkness as to intellectual reasoning, as to understanding and love of this world, the beggarly elements of this world, as to being in bondage to that with your thoughts. That kind of mind and that kind of thinking, which is Lucifer, in that the Bible said he saves the things that be of the flesh, it can never get to your spirit. So then your spirit is completely free. It can never be spotted. You are a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And the Bible said God is coming back after a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Which means your body that will be changed. Our body is bare, dead because of sin. The sinful body, or the body of that death that sinned against God, is forever gone. It's buried and can never again, never again be seen in the sight of God. It's buried in this world. But we are now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And every time God sees us, he looks through the blood, because he's within the heart. And he sees our outer man as through the royal blood of Jesus, in that the life is in the blood, the eternal life. Just as your natural life is in your blood, his life is in his blood. And through that blood, he looks at this outer casing, or this bodily envelopment that houses the inner man. And the Bible said this life of Christ on the inside of you through your spirit is made manifest in your mortal genes, as from glory to glory, from inspiration to inspiration, from revelation to revelation, until your eyes become enlightened with the glory of God, till you comprehend the heights as to heaven, the depths as to hell, and the width and the length, as we brought out, as to what those things have to do with. We see what a wonderful thing God has done. And then when we look around us and we see the birds and the trees and we see everything in detail in this world, then we know those things are allegoric. Those things are type. Those things are shatters. And those things are but vanities, lined vanities that will pass away. As soon as the sun is risen up, then the shatters flee. So it's the shadows, because people are in the dark night of intellectual reasoning. And the Bible said if they be drunk, they be drunken in the night. They are drunk in this world of darkness, off of the cares of this life. And the only light in this world, that's you, the candle light. Each little candle, as to candle powers, as scientists say, make up this great light, and you're the light of the world, because there is no light here. Jesus came into the world, and that was the first time light came. The Bible said in the creation of God that God reckoned time from evening till morning. And so then, with the fall of Adam, it was evening. And the night continued until the morning. And at Calvary, the morning came. And the Bible said he's the bright and the morning star. And the Bible said until the day star dawns within your heart. That is to say that Jesus Christ, at the resurrection, at the opening of the curtains of the last drama, at the rent veil, came forth that interior as to the kingdom of God. Or that is to say, as long as those curtains was covering the little 10x10 as to the holies of holies, nobody could see the Ark of the Covenant. But when Jesus Christ rent the veil in twain, that is to say again that he made within himself twain both Lord and Christ, and separated the Lord from the Christ, rending the veil in two, or in twain. And from that time, John wrote of the interior part as to the Ark of the Covenant that could now be seen, called the revelation of Jesus Christ. Or that is to say the revealing of Jesus. Christ within you, the hope of glory, because he alone was made heir to that glory, and appeared with Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration in glory to substantiate the fact that he did not have to die from birth until the time of entering into the glory. Whereas you do die because of sin. He had no sin. He did not die except to the extent that he died for my sins, but he walked into glory first, which tells you and I that we don't have to die, that we can understand the mystery of Paul. We don't have to sleep. We are children of the resurrection. We're not waiting for the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. And blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, as did Christ come into your heart, the born again experience. For the second death, as to the lake of fire, which of course is the only death since the first is asleep, that second death hath no power over him that is born again. All right, won't go into that because we've tried to explain that before. I just, by way of remembrance, bring some things to you. As Peter said, I know that you know these things. But as long as I'm in this tabernacle, that is the inner man's tabernacle in this body, then I feel that I should bring these things to your remembrance. And if this tabernacle be dissolved, that is to say by the works of Calvary, then I have another tabernacle eternal in the heavens, not made with hands, in that spirit is the earnestness of mine inheritance as to eternal life, and the body was that he purchased at Calvary, so the purchased possession, which is that redeemed part that we wait to wit. Now I try to tell you this morning, especially because it's considered the morning of the resurrection, as to the body. You are not waiting for the redemption of the body. You are not waiting for some special specific thing to take place as with your body, because your body has already been redeemed. It is the purchased possession. And all we're waiting for is to wit, to recognize, to come to understand, to get enough understanding, to have this thing detailed to us to where we can utilize our ability in faith to claim life, immortality in this body. And this way, we don't have to be put in a casket. There'll be people that will never be put in a casket. There'll be people that'll never close their eyes in sleep, in that the first is not death, but sleep. Even as Jesus said concerning Lazarus, he's not dead. I go to awake him. When your spirit departs from your body, you are not dead. Your body went to sleep. See, death is not of the body. It's kind of hard for people to understand spiritual things. The Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness, and I'm a steward of the mysteries. But death is not within the body. The body has nothing to do with it. The body is a composition of the dust to begin with. It is particles. It is atomic particles. And as the Lord said, from the dust thou art, Adam, and to the dust thou shalt go. And when Jesus came, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, ye are of the dust. To the dust ye shall return. Ye came from the dust. He said, but I didn't come from the dust. My body was not made from the dust as to the first man, Adam. See, there was no conception as to that. It was divine conception, in that there was a spiritual seed of life, and from heaven I came, and I go back to heaven. And he said, while I'm here, Nicodemus, I'm in heaven. I've never departed out of the presence of my heavenly Father. So then, I am not guilty. Whereas the Bible said concerning the little children, when they forbid the little children, he said, forbid them not. Suffer them to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Unless you become as a little child, you shall in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. So then the little child, he was saying that this little child's spirit has never come to the age of accountability to be charged with the misdemeanors of the flesh, in that it is called sinful flesh. And where there's no knowledge of sin, sin is not charged. But where there's a knowledge of sin, the Bible teaches that sin is charged. And he, to him that knoweth to do good, that is to say, when the preacher preaches to him and knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. So this is when the Bible said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, when you come to the knowledge of the truth. And some of you have come to the knowledge, and many, many people around the world have come to the knowledge. And that's why there's cancer. That's why there's TV. That's why there's heart trouble. That's why there's diseases and all these other things. These things as to corruption, harlotry, and all these other things, demon possession and oppression and sorrow of heart, comes to you, poverty, all these things, because when you came to the knowledge of the truth, you didn't accept God. See, so we see that we're falling as a world into the hands of the living God, and I've told you that when this comes, that brings the end of the world. It is always the end of the world when knowledge of God comes. Because there's never grace after knowledge. The Bible said once you've come to the knowledge of sin, or the knowledge of God, or the knowledge of righteousness, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking forward to of the fiery indignation of God as to his judgment, his wrath, his indignation. Only the fearful looking forward to of the wrath of God, whether it be sickness, sorrow, shortening your days by disobedience, or being turned into hell. See, you only look forward to it as to judgment. No life, no hope. Now, there would have to be another crucifixion. There would have to be another atonement. Or there couldn't be a remission of sin. And the Bible said you crucify Christ afresh. You put him to an open shame. And God isn't going to do that. See, so that means you're lost. Now, as long as you don't know about God, the blood atones for you. It's on the seat of atonement. It atones for you. But when you come to this knowledge, then after that, there's no more atonement. All right, getting back to this thought. And we say again, then, the body has nothing to do with death. It has nothing to do with death. Death is the spirit. So then when my spirit separates from my body, I know we use the terms in our intellectual expressions that the body is dead without the spirit, so saith the scripture. See, which means that the life is in the spirit and not in the body. For it did not say the spirit is dead without the body, because the spirit is not dead without the body, but the body is dead without the spirit. But death is when your spirit separates from God, because death is when your spirit is separated from the eternal spirit. There's only one form of life, and Jesus said, I am that life, as to God the Spirit speaking. I am that life. I've come that you might have life, and that more abundant, the word meaning filled up and overflowing, in every capacity of life, spiritually, naturally, physically, whatever, a natural blessing in life as the prosperity, a physical blessing in health to be enjoyed, and a spiritual blessing as to eternal security to take care of you, that you never lose it to Lucifer or lose it by death, never again. So then when the spirit separates from the body just baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Spirit goes back to God who gave it. I'm speaking of that which is spiritual death, as to be implanted in his likeness, raised in his likeness. So then my body of sin is dead and gone, because the body is to blame for my wrong. Now, the body is to blame for my sin. Sinful flesh. And God charged it to the body and sent a human body in the likeness of it, to do away with my body, to where my bodily image as the bastard child would never be in his face again, but I might pamper this body. Paul said, though the outer man perisheth, the inner man is renewed day by day. So the old body of sin and death is gone, because to me that was the body of sin and death, because it was a transgressor of the law, because the Bible said, by the law shall no flesh be justified. So it's folded up and it's gone away. And that is for me, or you, as a Christian. But the death as to sin with a sinner is not in his body. It is within his spirit. And so then, his spirit will be separated from the eternal spirit of God, and his spirit with his body will be turned into a lake of fire. And that is called the second death, which is the only death. Because there's no death as to the body. When the spirit separates from the body, then the body simply goes to sleep. And Jesus says, I go to awake Lazarus. Someday he'll come and he'll wake us at the trumpet. When you're in service, they sound the trumpet in the morning. And you have to stretch and get up. And when the trumpet sounds, then we'll all rise up, if we are asleep, as to be implanted in the grave. Otherwise, we are asleep, but the body of the Lord Jesus, as to his body being planted in the grave, and my body is now dead to sin and dead to the world, and I'm dead to the body, and my spirit, my angelic being, and the spirit were all as angels. I make my angel spirits. In the spirit, we are now in heaven, because the world of spirit is heaven, and the world of this flesh, This is the bodily repulsiveness toward God, because it is the bastard child image. It is with the worms. It is a graveyard. This world is a graveyard, and they that live in trespasses and sin are buried in the graveyard. For the Bible said they are dead while they live. Or that is to say, the day that thou eatest out, thou shalt surely die. When the carnal mind came in, men died, because the Bible said to be carnally minded is death. And from that time, they went out of the garden, out of heaven, out of the spirit, and went down into the earth as to another dimension, and they've been buried ever since until Jesus came. And when Jesus came, then that brought us to life. We that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and those that do not believe are still under the law, and they're still away from God, and they're still not in that wonderful world of God. So then we can see that what we're saying is that we are free from the law of sin and death. I don't have to worry anymore about the law of sin and death. The law hath no power over me whatsoever. There is no power over me to the law. I'm free from the law. I'm completely free from the law of sin and death. I know there's a lot of heretics in the world. I meet them everywhere I go. A lot of heretics in the world, and they tell you that you have to keep the law. They're convicted of their own selves, and they're nothing but heretics, and they're condemned of their own selves, because the Bible said, as to the Jew, you have the law, Paul said, and none of you keep it. For no flesh shall be justified by the law, even the Lord Jesus Christ, though he kept every jot and tittle, being a fleshly being, as to my example, he could not be justified by the law. But fulfilling the law as to the divine measurements of the eternal spirit, thus Christ fulfilled the law in my heart as the law of righteousness, because the Bible said we know that the law is spiritual, but we are carnal, sold unto sin. And what I would do as to the inner man, outwardly I do not. And Paul said that I would not do as to the outwardly man, that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, he said, who will deliver me from the body of this death? Then he said, I thank God that what the law could not do, and that I could not perform it, or it was weak concerning the flesh. He said, then Christ coming in the likeness of sinful flesh, God sending his only Son, condemned sin in the flesh and done away with sin in the flesh. And today, I'm free from the law of sin and death. I'm free from the law. I'm not going to be free. Somebody says, if you hold on, if you live a good life, it has nothing to do with it. Jesus lived the good life. I'm God's workmanship in Christ, and I'm complete in Christ. And what he done was me doing it. It was me that died. It was me that resurrected. It was me that lived that perfect life. When they said, I find no fault in this just man. For Jesus said, I and my Father are one. So then I'm bone of his bone, and I'm flesh of his flesh. And all that he did for me. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even my confidence in what he done for me, or my faith. Taking the shield of faith, that I quench all the fire darts of the wicked, that I keep myself in the love of God, and the evil one toucheth me not. Because I cannot sin, in that I'm born of God, and God's seed, as to Jesus Christ, the hope of that glory, and that he alone was made heir to that glory, lives on the inside of me, and now my hope is there as to eternal life. And as Paul said, from henceforth there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me, and for every one that doeth the will of God, that will keep their faith unto the end. Cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense of reward. So we see the beauty again of what Paul has said. Being the Gentile apostle, he had the revelation, because the revelation is to the Gentile people. Why would it not be to the Jews? Because the Jews had a law as to the law of sin and death, which was the flesh. And they came under the condemnation and the curse of the law. He said in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy to Israel, said, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. And he did that by bringing the law. If you keep the law, then blessed are ye. If you do not keep the law, then ye are cursed. So they became a curse, because there was no way they could keep the law. By the law shall no flesh be justified. You have the law, but none of you keep it, Paul said. So then there was nothing that they could do, because they had to do with the work of God, as to the plan of God,
as to that wonderful oversight of God, extensively speaking, looking down through the telescope of time, God made these people to be death, that He might bring the Son of God to make us to be life. And He gave them all kind of works and ritualistic so that He could say, it is not of works, none of you keep it. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. But it is the gift of God, that God may have the glory, as in the beginning when He created Adam and Eve, gave them life, gave them the beauty of the garden, gave them all things, and didn't require any law, and didn't require any works. And all He did was He done away with that boastful side of man as Satan within man, boasting himself of his characteristics, of his ability, of his scholarship, of his diplomacy. God killed him, done away with him forever. He's a bastard child in the sight of God. And then God brought His own Son. And when He brought His own Son, He made Him to be life for us in our heart as Christ, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Jesus. And He made Him to be death for us, as to the bodily part, rent the veil, separated the body from the spirit. And today I'm back where I was in Adam before the world ever come forth as to sin. That is to say, I was in the loins of my father, and then I came into the garden, and from the garden there the flesh failed, showing it through the woman, the weakness of the flesh, because to God you are feminine. And showing the fall, it means that all flesh is under the penalty of sin and death. And now there is no more flesh allowed in the presence of God after the blood comes off of the seat of atonement. Right now it's all right. God's giving grace to the just and the unjust. The rain's coming on the just and the unjust. He's taking away the sins of the world. You can shout, you can be religious, you can do whatever you want to and still live like the devil. But when the blood comes off the seat of atonement, that blood life is no more for humanity. It's just for the church's body. As the bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And God, who lives in that bloodstream, won't be around anymore, because you won't have that royal blood flowing through your vein. And you won't have that Shekinah overshadowing as to the illumination of God. And the mind of God will not be here as to bring forth medicines, healings, comforts of life, conveniences, riches, whatever. It won't be here. All of it will turn into darkness, into intellectual ignorance. And the Bible said there won't even be healing medicines. And that's why the Bible said, pray always that you might be able to escape this that's coming on the earth, seeing that that is the tribulation period, and men will gnaw their tongues for pain and seek death and not even be able to find the sleep that we speak of, to get out of range from that tribulation and anguish and all the horrible, hideous judgments of God that's coming upon them that do not live holy and godly. That's why Paul said he is the Spirit of holiness, and he was declared to be the Son of God by the Spirit of holiness with power. And he tells us that we should serve him all the days of our life in holiness and righteousness, all the days of our life. For without holiness, no man shall see life, because life is the Spirit of holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see God. The Bible said the children of this world are blinded by their lust, their desires. As to the eyes of the understanding, they're blinded and cannot see when good comes. And Lucifer, the god of this world that savors the things that be of the flesh, as fame, popularity, prestige, as being dignitaries in the world, as to the riches and all these kind of things, Satan had blinded their eyes of understanding, that they cannot comprehend the height, the depth, the width, and the length, as the children of God can. For the Bible said, your eyes being enlightened, you can comprehend the height, the depth, and the length, and the width. So we are a separate people. Come out from among them. Be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things. Come out of the world, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. But if you stay in the world, then you've got the mind of the world. If you do the things of the world, you've got the mind of the world. If you love the things of the world, you have the mind of the world. And that's Lucifer, and the love of God is not in you. For he that loveth God loves the things of God. Righteousness and holiness and world evangelism, helping the poor, feeding the widows, and helping the orphans, and doing the things of God. See, of the world, in the world, to the extent that these people are in it naturally, but not of the world, not in the world. I'm not in the world. He's chosen me out of the world. And I'm hid with Christ in God. That is His Spirit in my spirit, and our spirits in God's spirit. Father, you and me and I and them, to make these one even as we're one, even one angelic spirit, as the Father, as the Mother, and the little child, all from the Father's loins, all one family. And as they are born into the world, the mother is supposed to conform to the man, because the man was not in the transgression, but the woman, to show the weakness of the flesh. That is, this body should come under subjection to the Spirit, which is Christ's Spirit on the inside. So then, we've got to remember that my body must be committed to God, conformed to God, and be completely dead as to my own ambition and desire, to cast down imagination in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So, they that are in the flesh walk in the flesh. They love the things of the flesh. And the Bible said they cannot please God because they're in the flesh. But you're born again. And the Bible said if you walk not in the flesh, then you cannot sin. You're born again and you cannot sin because you're born again. Therefore, you're not in the flesh. I've chosen you out of the flesh, and you're not in the flesh because the body of the flesh is now dead, buried, gone, and at death. Your spiritual angelic being went back to God who gave it. And the Bible said now you're equal to the angels and cannot die, because angels cannot die. They have to be destroyed. All right. So, seeing that we are here, even this morning on the resurrection morning, as to what it is to you and I in our thinking, we now have the mind of Christ. And to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We have been restored back to the garden. We have been translated as a spirit, as a light that is small into a greater light. And we've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. For the Bible said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been present, and it has been preached, and men press their way into that kingdom. All that is to say, Jesus Christ, the door, Peter, here's the key. John saw it open at the end of the church ages. A voice had come up hither. We have been translated, instantaneously caught up to the throne as the new birth, as the inner man, and the kingdom of God is now within you. And the kingdom of heaven is the same as within you. The Bible uses the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. It's within you. And you don't get it by going into it as the carnal-minded people think, as waiting for something to happen, and then you're going to go into the kingdom. You'll never do that. Flesh and blood cannot inherit. This is an inheritance. It's not something you go into. It's something that goes into you. And your spirit, like the safeguard within the fabric, interwoven, and the stains of evil cannot get there. Speaking of Christ within you, the hope of glory. So then your spirit is one with Christ's spirit, and Satan can never get there, because light is within you, and the light expels the darkness, and the dark intellectual thinking and ugliness and debauchery of Satan's spirit and lie cannot penetrate and get into that mind of Christ, or get into that light on the inside. Well, the Bible said before you can spoil a strong man's goods, you must first bind the strong man, and then you can spoil his goods. See, now, Christ can go into you. If you've got the spirit of the devil, he can bind the spirit of the devil, put him out. That is to bring the expulsion. That's the Satan cast out of heaven, that is out of your life. And he can bind Satan. He can fill you with light. But when you are filled with light, you are filled with the Holy Ghost. You are sanctified by the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Satan can't come in and bind Jesus. So you're forever protected. Never come nigh your dwelling. So we have light. We have understanding, that is, God light. And this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Why is it to the Gentiles? Because the Gentiles is life. And the veil must be moved, as the rending of the veil, as to get to your spiritual being, because it is a spiritual Christ as the head of the church, coming to a spiritual being as the church. And it is a spiritual life. It is a spiritual reward. It is spiritual riches. And to the Jew, it is a natural Jesus with a natural body, as a natural head to that natural body, with the natural riches, with the natural inheritance, as to the natural world of the millennium, or we call it Canaan.
being restored to them, because the meek shall inherit the earth. And when he runs them through the fire of the tribulation period of God, they're going to be very meek. Right now they're haughty, and the Bible says the wrath of God's coming to them to the uttermost, because they've killed, rejected every prophet, every wise man, everything that God had tried to do for them. They've stopped it. And God is destroying them and going to bring them to the tribulation through the fire. I will run Jacob through the fire. After that, it'll make them head of the nations. As to the natural, the curse will be lifted, the briars will be gone. And the reason for that is because there's a natural briar, physical briar, spiritual briar. And that natural briar, that natural thorn that Adam had to labor among to protect his bride, represented the thorns that was placed on Jesus' head, the second man Adam. And the natural thorns that you see, you're well acquainted with as a boy. I used to cut them many times and burn them on the terrace when we'd be plowing new ground. Or the old devil had us to say, spiritually, the snakes would go every which way, the beetles, the bugs, when we set the fire. See, but the thing is, there's also a physical briar. As in the natural, there's the physical. As in the physical, there's the spiritual. As in heaven, so in earth. All things are typed out in this world, and allegoric types are given through lying vanities and shadows as being of the night. When the light arises, when the sun comes, the shadows are eradicated, and the reflectors to the moon's no more, and that little light is swallowed up in this great, magnificent day star called the sun. So Christ in you, the hope of glory, the day star, Calvary, the new day has come from evening till morning. Now he said, I despise your image as the bastard child, because you did not get born again. You did not let it be accounted for as death from the foundation of the world in the foreknowledge. In that I am elect according to foreknowledge, I died before the world ever was as a sinner. I was resurrected unto life, and now I'm alive forevermore. And now I am the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and nobody can lay any charge to me, because I am his elect. You that were alive in him before the world ever was, you're predestinated unto good works in Christ. And whatever he is, that's what you are. Wherever he is, that's where you are. Wherever he will remain throughout eternity, that will be your home and your place of continuing abode. So we are resurrected with him. We are alive. We are they that dwell in heaven. And God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. And the body profiteth nothing. It's dead. It's gone. We are the spiritual church. We are the spiritual world. And someday, soon, will bring the dead out of the grave. For just as soon as you finish your scholarship in Christ, your diplomacy in Christ, when these things are finished as to detailed to your mind, and then faith arises as to the full measure, as to the full reward, then death cannot hold them that are in the grave anymore, because death is conquered and death is a defeated foe. The only thing is, it is just conquered to me and defeated to me or you as a Christian. And we do not have to die. We can never die. We pass from death unto life. And even if our body sleeps the sleep of rest, we still cannot die. Our spirit is alive in heaven. Already my body is sleeping the sleep, because by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, I reckon myself to be dead, been baptized into his death. I'm resurrected with him in life, and today I'm alive forevermore. So, won't be long, and it'll all be over as to the natural world, the natural body. It's already all over to the Christian that can see, that can understand. It's been over since the foundation of the world. Christ done away with it in his foreknowledge. And today, we're waiting for the night to pass over, the shadows to disappear, and every little potion of light as to inspiration on the inside of your mind. You are eradicating the world, because the world is a mind that got into Eve. And this other world is the world of the mind of Christ. And a mind is a spirit and a life. It's a world. And this mind of Christ is eradicating death because carnality is death. It's natural. It's not spiritual. And life only exists in the Spirit. Spirit is quickening in life. Jesus, the second man Adam, was made a quickening spirit. So then all you have is a little electrical impulse in you as to your human body. As to human physics, I say this so often, the little bit of cosmic energy that comes down from heaven from the day star, and that science says everything would freeze over without it because it's a type of God or Christ. So you've just got a little bit of cosmic energy coming down through your hypothalamus, and it's coming into your human physics, so that you are having a quickening as to your human body by electrical impulse. And this is the thing that keeps you alive. God switched human beings over to electrical impulse when they fell from the garden. And that's all they are, and a sudden shock, just like it will knock a light off or stop a clock from ticking, it will stop your heart. And that's all there is to you. Because as long as that heart is beating, it's drawing in oxygen, and as long as that's coming in, then you're getting that cosmic energy. You're having what's called the breath of life, natural life, and you're like the baby on the bottle if you don't get weaned off of it and get on meat as to the changeover, as to the new birth. That means that you don't have any life in it. So Jesus used the terms when he defeated Satan, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven, because he hath to do with electrical impulse as to the quickening. And that's the way that humanity is kept alive. God switched him over to that. And Satan is the god of this world. He is the god of all these systems, of all these dignitaries, of all of these celebrities, all of these rich, all that saveth the flesh. For he saveth the things that be of the flesh. All that love the world. For if the love of the world's in you, then Satan is there. The love of God is not in you. So by the eradication of that natural mind that brought death, that's from Satan, now we're eradicating from glory to glory to get every thought out. Every thought is changed. As this mind comes in, it reveals a new glory. It reveals a new portion. It reveals a new revelation. And then that much is eradicated into the natural. I see a tree. I say a tree. I sit under the shade tree. I eat fruit from the tree. I enjoy the tree. But one day I'm sitting under the tree, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God begins to move. And the Lord says, a tree? Nay, but the trees of God are full of sap. And then he says, fruit? Nay. Nay, he says, because it is the fruit of the Spirit. And then he begins to, and all of a sudden my natural mind is gone. All of that was for my belly. For the serpent is on his belly, and all of his labors for his belly and for his mouth, because his belly craves it of him. All of his labor is for the comfort of his belly, because he, as the generation of vipers, he's on his belly because of sin. So then I find everything dissipating as to my natural thinking, and all of a sudden I look, and there's a new tree and a new world and a new, and every thought is eradicated and changed by the transformating of the mind, until all of a sudden I got a new world in me, and it's not this old world. For if the world is in you, then you're dead. But God casts out, eradicate, in that the Bible said God has placed the world within your heart. He eradicates it as a mind from that was Satan, and now he brings heaven in, which is the mind of Christ Jesus. So it's altogether different, and the Bible teaches because of this we're going to wit or comprehend the redemption of the body, because we're going to realize as we go from thought to thought, the completeness of the mind of Christ Jesus, that death hath no power over us. I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. Death is the last to be conquered, or that is to be made manifest. As in your world, it'll be the last to be conquered. For the righteous dead will resurrect before the what we call the Canaan or the restored earth, as to the 1,000 years millennium. But the wicked dead live not again until after the 1,000 years is finished. So that means that death will be there all during the millennium. They'll still be in the graves. But we are, as of now, when you come to the new birth, alive forevermore. Let's stand together. Oh, then they that live in trespasses and sin, for dead while they live. That's why God has given them the wealth of this world. He's given them prestige and given them benefits and given them wealth of this world, and they fight and they curse and they snort and they drink and they party and do all the things of the world. Backbite, gossip. But the Bible says He has chosen the poor of this world that He might develop faith in their heart. He's chosen the poor of this world that He might make them heirs to heaven and rich in faith. For the Bible says, if you have this world's good and be not rich toward God, all is vanity and death, and you're in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity, and you're in bondage to the bodily elements of this world, and at the coming as to what we say naturally, the Lord Jesus in the heavens, the last trump, will only be revealed to you fully then that you are a devil. Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." He said to Judas, "Thou art a devil. I've chosen 12 of you. One of you is a devil." So whatever life lives on the inside of you, that makes you what you are. Whether Lucifer's life or Christ's life, if Christ's life lives within you, then are you the sons of God. And if you be the sons of God, then are you God's. And your desire will be spiritual and heavenly. Set your affection on things above, for thieves don't break through and steal, and moth doesn't corrupt. For wherever your treasures are, there shall your heart be also. Let's sing a little chorus together. We're living in a terrible age. This is a sinful age. The Bible said an adulterous generation. It is a wicked age of murderers and liars and cheats and men reveling and doing ugly things. We got men that are right here in this congregation. More than one. We have them standing here, even young men, that are whoremongers. They're whoremongers. They practice. They're whoremongers. And we got women here that are prostitutes. They come in and out this place. Sing together, can we? The Bible said having eyes full of adultery. Eyes full of adultery means lust. The Bible said to us belongs confusion of faces. A woman, when she sees a face that is pleasing to her, she lusts after it. When a man sees a face of a woman that's pleasing to him, he lusts after it. If she sees a physique that fits her ego, Satan eats her like a worm and turns her into corruption, lusting after that human being. And the same way, if the man's got money, prestige, if he's a philosopher, whatever it might be, the same way with woman. She can have a little class, as the world calls it. The man, he goes by and he lusts after her body, her face. And the Bible said she'll walk mincing with her feet as she goes to catch his attention. Having eyes full of adultery, he cannot cease from sin. And this generation that we're living in is an adulterous generation. They don't marry anymore. There's never been such a rotten, corruptible generation in the world. Can't be satisfied with one wife or two wives or three wives or four wives. Some of them I've heard of so many wives until it's unreal. And young boys and girls are just from one girl to another. And girls are just prostitutes. They're from one man to another. And all of their virtues is gone. And Satan has done this to get rid of God. He doesn't want to get rid of the life. He is a thief. He's after your virtue. He wants virtue. The Bible said, if anything have any virtue, then think on these. And the reason the church is powerless is because it's virtueless. See, and Satan wants your virtue because he wants life, like a man after the virtue of a woman. She's garbage to him after he defiled her. Like it was with David, son of old, when he defiled that girl. After that, he despised her. She asked to marry him, but he didn't want her. That was a spirit. One of the lowest kind of spirits. After a while, a brother killed him. The brother of the girl, in that they had numbers of different mothers. One father back there. The brother of that girl killed that boy for his rotten doing. And I'm watching where there's adulterous as to men, girls, boys practicing this. They shorten their days like they're by disobedience. And then the dart strikes through the liver. So, this is the sinful generation, adulterous generation. We've got them right here. They come from time to time. We try to keep the campground clean. Even though things happen, we still get behind it as fast as we can, and we get them out from here. The Bible speaks of people that do things like that. Said, purge out the old leaven, be a new lump. Cut them off, get the rotten arm off, lest the whole body die. Cut the limb off before the tree. The life is affected by the corruption. And then to save the spirit is to the life in the body. Get the rotten limb off. Amputation. All right, let's sing together. Let's sing, I love him, Brother Taylor. Can we sing that? The Bible said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandment. We got one young man here. He's a whoremonger. He starts his day as a whoremonger. He finishes his day as a whoremonger. He spends his whole weekend off of the job as a whoremonger. And God has shown me that he's going to let the dart strike through his liver because he has. The Bible said, the whore is a deep ditch. And they that fall into it are abhorred of the Lord. So when you see a man that is taken by a whore, you know that God despises him. And this young man, God despises him. And after a while, God's going to cut him down like a tree. Sing together.
I love him. That he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Can you sing it again now?
Do you try to keep his commandments? If you do, you love him. I love him. Oh, because that he first loved. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Sweep over my soul.
The altars are open.
Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit,
remember now. The devil will tell you that it's not time for you, that you have to do a little bit more, a lot of things that you must do, and it's not time for you. See, it's not your day, and he'll deceive you and keep you back from the good things of God, for the Bible said, thine iniquities have kept thee back from good things. My arm is not short that it cannot reach you. My ear is not dull that it cannot hear you. But thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God. That is to say, you must accept Calvary as to the rending of the veil, the putting away of the body of death, and then the iniquities are gone. The old veil is rent. The old carnal mind of death is gone. So then, The Bible said today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Take no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow may not get here. Tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself, for the evil is sufficient unto the day thereof. So then, now is the moment. You may walk out of here and have a heart attack. The Bible said in the latter days that young men's hearts, not old men's hearts, but young men's hearts, shall fail them for looking after those things that's to come upon the world. Out of fear, their hearts shall collapse. Pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. So today is the day of salvation. If you've not made the great commitment, now's the time to make the great commitment. You need to make that commitment. Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that God is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that great day. I'm glad to have you here this morning. I appreciate every one of you being here with us. It's a privilege to have you. Little Bethlehem, the home of the soul. We built this by faith. Built it as a home of the soul, so that you in the community, you in the areas, wherever, you could come. Many people that never come to Little Bethlehem, businessmen and whatever, they are continually calling. The phones are ringing. The letters are written here and around the different parts of the world, asking for prayer from the people of Little Bethlehem because they see a light. And they ask for your blessings upon them. For the Bible speaks of they that follow Christ, or of the minister saying, whomsoever he blesses shall be blessed. And ye are my blessed children in the Lord. And whomsoever he curses shall be cursed. And whatever he binds on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever he looses on earth will be loosed in heaven. For the Bible said he is the minister of God. Will ye not be afraid for conscience sake, seeing that he beareth not the sword in vain? He is God's minister to execute judgment upon them that do evil, or to bring blessing to them that serve the Lord. And judgment beginning at the house of God as to when he preaches the word, as to your thoughts toward that preaching, determines the faith and believing of your heart. As to unbelief or faith, as to faith, salvation, eternal life. As to unbelief, damnation and eternal wrath from God. And the Bible said they shall be tormented in the lake of fire. Brought this out the other night. In the presence of the saints and of the angels. Whereas the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes and looked across a great gulf, and he was in the presence of the saints. They could see him. Abraham could see him. He could see them and their happy life and be tormented because of what he'd lost. And Abraham and they that were in that world could see the terrible disaster and the loss. But Abraham said even if somebody wanted to come from here down there, they couldn't come. It's not allowed. The gulf you cannot cross over. Even God himself cannot cross over it, because that's willful sin. And when willful sin comes, there's no atonement for sin. And God cannot look upon iniquity. Therefore, even he cannot get to you. And they that are down there cannot come up here. And as I said the other night, it was said to Abraham, Father Abraham, let Lazarus dip his finger in some water. No doubt he saw that cool, clear water. Let him dip his finger in some water and come to me and cool my tongue, my parching tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames. But he said, in your lifetime you had the good things, Lazarus likewise the bad, and now he's confident thou art tormented. And he said, Abraham, send Lazarus back, or somebody back, and let him tell my brothers, don't come to this horrible place. And Abraham said, I can't do that. Said, they have the law and the prophets, or they have the preachers, that is. And if they won't hear them, though one rose from the dead, they won't hear him. And it's a true fact. that one stands before you today that's risen from the dead, even bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Say it is not him that speaketh that is to the man, but him that speaketh that rose from the dead, even Jesus. But you don't believe it. And the Bible said concerning Moses, if they turned away from his voice in that day and was counted worthy of such awful destruction, how much more shall they be thought worthy of death and sorrow that turns away from him that speaketh from heaven? And today there's a greater than Solomon here, for two or three comes together. In my name, I, the greater than Solomon, am here in their midst. And it is I, even God, that speaketh from heaven. It is God within his temple. Let all the world keep silent. Let every man be a lie and God be true. So then that means that here this morning, if you reject him that speaketh from heaven, then look what a horrible situation. We are those of just men with just spirits that have come to the mount of God, wherein the spirit of just men, having been justified by faith, by the grace of the Lord, have come to this mountain wherein the spirit of just men are made perfect. But that which is perfect is here, and that which is in part has been done away with. Jesus, the great perfect one. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, having been sanctified once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus. For the Bible said, God hath made perfect or perfected forever them that are sanctified, having sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Contend for the faith by which you are sanctified. Let's sing this little chorus. I love you. Paul said, I become your enemy because I tell you the truth. I love you. But I have to tell you the truth, differentiating, and the Bible said making a difference, that the veil is now rent, and it's going to be revealed to the world that it's been rent. And when you rent the veil, the Bible said in the beginning when he created, he put some waters above the firmament, some waters under the firmament. And the firmament, as to symbolic Jesus Christ hanging between heaven and earth, some of the waters are now below the firmament. Some are above Calvary. As the heavens, ye that love the Lord, God is differentiated, and your spirit went above as to back to God who gave it. And now you are the waters, waters typical of people. Now you are the waters above. And them that are below, that's buried in this graveyard of sin and death, are the waters that are below. So, differentiating, I preach to you, the veil is now rent. God has made a difference. Since Calvary, people that are in the light of God, in the grace of God, they are separated by the blood. And they that are on the other side, in the darkness as to intellectual ignorance, they're religious but still ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of truth or the truth's knowledge. In the darkness, they're separated in the sight of God. One's down here and one's up here. One's alive and the other's dead. Just a matter of time now. A matter of time. And the blood will come off the seat of atonement, and the wrath of God will be the burning indignation that will devour his adversaries as to them that are on this side. Death under the law. They that have fallen from grace are under the law. But life and immortality and blessing and riches to them that are under the grace of God. Okay, let's sing again, can we? As I say, the altars are open and you're welcome to come. Oh, there's room down at the cross for you. Oh, there's room down at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still there is room at the cross
for you. Today the day of salvation, now is accepted time. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Precious Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul.
Sing with me like this now.
For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more.
Can you sing that with me?
Oh, the tempest that may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved. Evermore I need thee, Lord, I need thee. Precious Savior, and oh, how I need thee. So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away, for he has come back to your heart once again. So let Jesus in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to Jesus and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away. A million years from now, will you be happy? Will you be singing while the ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question, where will you be?
Sing it with me now.
Just one life to live on earth, and it swiftly passes by. From the moment of our birth until it's time to die, God has given us this choice to decide our destiny in a million years, where will you be?
Can you sing with me now?
Where will you be? Million years from now, will you be happy? Will you be singing while the ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question, where will you be?
Let's hold our hands up to the Lord. The Bible says, I would that men everywhere lift up the holy hands without wrath and without doubting. And when you lift up your hands, it reminds the Lord Jesus of Calvary. For he said, I've engraved you in the palms of my hands that I might never forget you. Though a mother may forsake her suckling babe, but he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And sometimes you read where the modernism of today, they say that Jesus really wasn't pierced in the hands. Said that wouldn't hold a man on the tree, would have torn loose from the tree. Said he was pierced in the arm. But beloved friend, I believe what the Bible said, and he said, I've engraved thee in the palms of my hand that I might not forget you. And that's the way I believe it. In the day of the judgment, that engraving will be in the palms of his hands. And in his feet. This morning, you that have access to this life, love him and praise him, worship him, bring every thought into surrender. We say, I surrender, Lord, I surrender all to thee, Lord, I surrender all. Folks, let's praise him, let's love him. The songwriter said, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Mother never has, father never has, children never have. To love him with all of our heart, all of our strength, all of our mind. To love him with all of our soul. To love him with all of our heart. Give our bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, but alive and living unto God, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service in that he did so much for us. While we've got our hands up and our eyes closed, we'll just sing this little chorus together.
I will praise him, my will praise him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain, and will give him glory. All ye people, for his blood has washed away every stain.
Lift your hands and close your eyes now.
I will praise him. Let us give him glory, all ye people, for his blood has washed away every stain.
Sing with me again now.
and I will praise. While Brother Pasden comes, if he will, to bring the benediction, let's praise him. Can you now praise him with me? Lamb for sin.